As we look at chapter 12 of the book of Revelation for tonight, one of the things I think that is hard for people to believe and hard for people to comprehend and hard for us because we only have finite minds. We do not have the infinite mind of Almighty God, and therefore it's hard for you and me to understand that one of the great mysteries to me is why Satan still has access into the presence of Almighty God even tonight. Now, you and I probably don't understand that. We will probably never understand that this side of heaven, but there's one thing about it. One of these days, the usurper, the deceiver, the destroyer, the murderer, the liar, Satan is going to be cast out of heaven where he will no longer be able to accuse the brethren. And that happens in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, in this lesson tonight, what you and I are going to get is an overview of Satan's age-old strategy against Israel and the Messiah. Ever since the Garden of Eden and back in Genesis 3, all the way through the Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 20, Satan's strategy has always been to stop the mission of the Son of God. And since God's Son, Jesus Christ, came to the earth through the nation of Israel, Satan has worked tirelessly to attack the nation and her coming Messiah. And the victory of the Messiah means defeat for this enemy of God. Now, you and I know that Satan was defeated at the cross and his sentence was given. But that has not been his execution is still awaiting. I thought as I was studying this about many people that are on death row tonight. They've already been accused. They've already been found guilty of what they were guilty of. And many of them sit on death row. And some sit there for some 20 years before they are ever brought to the place of their final sentence. Satan was defeated on the cross. But he still, in this day and time that you and I live, he's still given a lot of latitude with the things that he does. He appears throughout the Bible from the beginning of the book of Genesis chapter 3 and concludes with his final execution of being cast into the lake of fire when we get to Revelation chapter 20. In between Genesis and Revelation, he has attempted in every way to oppose, to obstruct, to counterfeit the works of God. So when it comes to his specific activity during the end times, there's one chapter you and I can go to see, and that's chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. Now, tonight I want us to look at this verse by verse, and I want us to see what this has to say. It says in chapter 12, a great sign, that Greek term simeon, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child and she cried out being in labor and in pain to give birth. Now, she bore a child who was to rule the nations with the rod of iron, and her child is caught up to God in his throne. Now, there have been lots of ideas to the identity of who is this woman that Revelation chapter 12 is speaking about. But the only thing that fits the teaching of the Bible is this woman can be none other than the nation of Israel. It's consistent, this view is consistent with Isaiah speaking about in Isaiah 66, 7 and 8, a woman in labor who delivered a male child. the child that John sees was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Israel brought forth Jesus Christ, destined by God to rule the earth, and now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Now, John's vision was also consistent with the messianic prophecy found in the book of Psalm, chapter 2, 8 through 9, where it says that the Messiah has promised the nations as an inheritance, which he will rule with a rod of iron. Now, this vision was completed in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, where John saw Christ returning to rule the nations with the rod of iron. So the first great in Revelation 12, we'll see four different greats in Revelation chapter 12. And the first one is a great sign, a woman who is representing the nation of Israel, who will bring forth the Jewish Messiah. Now notice it says in verse 3, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads. If you will remember, seven is the biblical number for perfection, for completion. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads. The word heads there is, the meaning is something fully intelligent there. And 10 horns, and on his heads were seven diadems. Now, notice this. It says, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. Those stars there are speaking about those fallen demonic angels. And it says, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon, and of course the dragon is Satan, stood before the woman, that's Israel, who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Now, notice first of all, in chapter 12, we are given this interpretation here of this great sign. It's a woman, and this is representing the nation of Israel. You can go back through Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, and there's no question about who that is speaking about. It's the nation of Israel. And then verses 3 through 4 speaks about the great dragon, which is Satan. And so we're going to see what happens to him in this. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so in Revelation chapter 4, or 12, we're given this example. It gives us a glimpse into heaven where we see Satan, who is going to be in the future expelled from heaven. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us, the brethren, before God day and night. But when you come to chapter 12, he's going to be cast down. Now, notice the description of Satan. If we go on down in verse 5, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And, of course, that's speaking of Jesus, who ascended back to heaven, who sits at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels were waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who's called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night." Now, as John Walvoord says in his commentary in this particular chapter, he says, from this point on in Revelation, therefore Satan and his hosts are excluded from the third heaven, where is the presence of God. Although their temporary dominion over the second heaven, which is outer space, and the first heaven, which is the sky out there, their dominion continues. Satan's defeat in heaven, however, is the occasion for him to be sent down to the earth and explains the particular virulence of the Great Tribulation time. One of the things that will make the Great Tribulation so terrible is the extreme rage of Satan that he will unfurl. Now tonight, even though you and I cannot hardly comprehend why that an awesome great God would create someone like Satan to begin with. Well, God didn't create Satan like that. Lucifer was the son of the morning. He was the brightest. He was the most beautiful of the angels. And he was given a prominent place of worship. And that did not satisfy him. And you and I have to understand that a sovereign God gives people free will to choose. And in that free will, Satan wanted to be God himself. He wanted to be exalted. He wanted to be worshiped. He wanted to be elevated. And so all through the Bible, from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 20, it's been Satan's desire to try to do away and thwart the elective purposes of Almighty God. Now, one thing tonight you and I can understand, because Israel brought forth the Messiah and through the lineage down through the Old Testament, you can see why the nation of Israel is so hated by nations of the world. Because Satan has put it into them to blind and to deceive in every possible way that he can. Revelation chapter 12 gives a glimpse into heaven where Satan is going to be expelled from heaven. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. The description of Satan here in verse 9 is perhaps the most complete description of him anywhere in the scripture. He's called the great dragon, the serpent of old. It's a reference in Genesis chapter 3. He's also referred to as the devil. He's referred to as Satan. He's referred to as the deceiver of the world. Now, the Old Testament word for Satan means an adversary. He's the adversary of God and all of God's children that are pictured in the New Testament seeking to devour whomever he can, like a roaring lion, as 1 Peter 5:8 speaks about. Jesus summed up Satan well by saying he was a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. And so the Greek New Testament word for devil is diabolos. It literally means a slanderer. He's so labeled the accuser of the brethren, of our brethren, in verse 10. In the New Testament, the devil is the seducer of men. He's presented as the one who tempts men into actions that defy God. You wonder tonight why there's so much vitriol in America. You wonder why there's so much division all over the world tonight. You wonder why there is no peace tonight. When Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came 2,000 years ago, let me tell you why there is all of the division, all of the divisiveness, all of the blindness and the coldness and the callousness tonight all over the world. It's because Satan, he still is given dominion over the first heaven and the second heaven out there. You know, we keep hearing all of these things about aliens and all of this kind of stuff. Let me tell you, I believe that if there are aliens out there, I believe that they are part of the demonic forces of Satan at work in the outer space of the second heaven. You will remember the Greeks always spoke about, as well as the Jews, always spoke about there were three heavens. The first heaven is the sky out there. When you look up and you see the birds flying south for the winter, that's the first heaven. The clouds. The second heaven is outer space. In fact, on television last evening, I believe it was on the History Channel, they were interviewing one of the scientists who helped design and worked on this new telescope that is far superior to the Hubble telescope. It's the James Webb telescope. And if any of you saw that, they're seeing incredible things that are out there. And this particular scientist was speaking about, and he was a Christian. And he said he believed that in the days to come that this telescope and others that will be invented, if time should last, would be able to identify to people that there has to be a great God out there, a great designer. There are lots of scientists that are atheists. They do not see that. And I thought as I listened to that, why is it that they would see? In fact, one person that was interviewing this scientist made the comment. He said, you know, when you see the statue of Atlas holding up the world, he said, who caused Atlas to be able to hold the world up? In other words, there has to be something that put the things into place as they are. They did not happen by random chance, even though there are many atheistic scientists out there that are trying to purport that. There are great Christian science people out there that know and believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that there had to be someone. Because those that are atheistic in their scientific explanations of things, one thing that they can never answer is, well, who put it all out there to begin with? I mean, it's there, so where did it all come from? And they can't answer all of that. And the reason they can't answer all of that, I believe, is because the God, as the Bible speaks about of this world, speaking of Satan, the liar, the deceiver, the murderer, the slanderer, the one who brings deception into people's lives, I believe it's because he has deceived them. I believe it's because they choose not to see the truth, even when they hold righteousness out there in their hands. I believe that they are deceived by Satan and these fallen demonic spirits that are out there. Now, you and I tonight, if there's one thing I want us to understand, is this: the power of Satan to conduct his strategies is indicated in John's description. John calls him a great fiery red dragon having seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems in his head. Verse 3. In Scripture, as I mentioned, 7 is the number of completeness or perfection, and heads there is a reference to intelligence. So the 7 heads present this image of complete intelligence and cunning. It's not omniscience or infinite intelligence like God has, but it is sufficient in its universal intelligence to carry out Satan's plan on the earth, 1 John 5:19. And what is that plan? It's to blind the minds of humanity to the glory of Christ, who's the image of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. So this image we're given here in chapter 12 of Satan as a dragon, he's also referred to as a serpent elsewhere. It speaks of his power. It speaks of his cunningness. It speaks of his cruelty, and that one of his being, and that one of his is a murderer and death. And then the seven diadems there in verse 3 on his head speak of a king and a kingdom, something supported by Jesus in Matthew 23 and in John 12 and John 14 and John 16 and Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 and Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. John also tells us that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John 5:19. So no one should forget that Satan is given power and authority. Now tonight, there are hundreds of questions that mankind has when it comes to life, when it comes to things that happen, when it comes to bad things happening to good people. Things that happen, the Bible says it rains on the good and the bad, the just and the unjust alike. Now, every one of us tonight, if we went around the room, I'm confident of the fact we would all have questions that we don't understand. My question would be, why did you create Lucifer to begin with? Hello? Are y'all out there? Any of y'all ever wonder that? Why would the infinite God, who is omniscient, all-knowing, already knew from eternity past that when he created all of the angels that he created, and by the way, we're going to go back and redo an angel study because the Bible is replete with angels. And let me tell you, one of the great mysteries is, you know, I'm not God, and God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and God will use Satan however he chooses to use him for his elective purposes to accomplish his will in life. Satan chose through free will not to be satisfied with his present existence as the most beautiful of the created angelic host. And God gave him a free will. You know that what that says to me tonight? To the 8 billion people that now live in the world, I understand, as I read the other day, that the world now has 8 billion people in number. It says to me that if you want to be saved, the Holy Spirit will draw you to be saved. But let me tell you, if you're out there in the world and you have fallen sway to the wicked one, this great deceiver, this red fiery dragon, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the deceiver, the murderer, the liar. If you fall under his sway to believe a lie, you are going to be deceived in the world. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Now, the last time I looked when I taught English, any meant any. And let me tell you, I believe if people want to be saved, I believe the Holy Spirit of the living God will draw them to him. But let me tell you, when they are calloused, when they are cold-hearted, and they have fallen under the sway of the wicked one, let me tell you, Satan has been given power. a latitude of a lot of power and a lot of authority. And you and I have to understand that and accept that as for whatever God's infinite elective purposes are for His program, God will use whomever He chooses to accomplish His purposes in life. Now, I mentioned a few moments ago, Lucifer means star of the morning. In fact, in the book of Hebrew and Isaiah chapter 14, which helps us understand the reference here in Revelation that we'll later look in chapter 13, and I'm not going to get into chapter 13 for tonight, but we know that when Satan fell, when he falls out of heaven, that a third of the stars of heaven are thrown to the earth. Now, please understand this, and please understand that I cannot explain this. Suffice it to say what the Bible says. It's hard to understand that even tonight, even today, Satan has access into the presence of God. Why would God allow that? Well, once again, you and I do not have the infinite, omniscient mind of Almighty God. You and I will never understand that this side of eternity. But according to the Bible, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Let me tell you, he accuses us before God. But you know what? Jesus is there making intercession. I paid for them on Calvary. When Satan accuses me before God, Jesus is there to stand in my stead. To say, I bought him at Calvary. He's covered by my blood. The Bible says Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Now, whatever all of that encompasses and whatever all of that means to you and me this side of eternity, all I know is what the Bible says, and I'm confident that there's a reason for it. Now, we go on and read, if you will. It says in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven. John says, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, pardon me, have come, for the accuser, that's Satan, of our brethren, has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. It's pretty hard to understand, isn't it? Pretty hard to grasp what that means other than what Scripture says. Notice in verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. He's speaking about these martyrs. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And then notice what John says here. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you. Remember, sea here is referring to the masses of the people. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you. Notice, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Now, you and I have to understand that following Satan's defeat and expulsion from heaven, he's going to immediately turn his anger to the nation of Israel. He will try to erase the nation of Israel from the face of the earth. You see, this is the second war in Revelation chapter 12. Chapter 1 pictures Israel as the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This description is an allusion to Joseph's dream that he had back in Genesis 37, where the people of Israel are clearly in view. Also, the woman gives birth to Jesus, which further links the woman to Israel, since Scripture says that the Messiah will come from Israel, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, Satan focuses his fury on the woman, and he tries to wipe out the Jewish people once and for all to try to thwart the promises of God. He will embark on this all-out worldwide campaign of anti-Semitism. Have you noticed in the news how that there's so much anti-Semitism today against the Jews? Have you noticed how that it is in the forefront of the news media all the time? I believe that you and I are seeing things come to pass that should be awakening within the heartstrings of every child of God, that time is later than it's ever been. Now, this will mark the culmination of Satan's age-long world war against the Jewish people. But notice that his attempts always backfire. Have you ever noticed that every time Satan tries to wipe out the Jews, they end up with some kind of holiday? Do you remember after Pharaoh's brutal enslavement, they got Passover, their holiday of whenever they were delivered from the death angel that passed over and brought death to those Egyptians. After Haman's plot in the book of Esther to wipe them out, then they had another holiday. It's called the Festival of Purim, where they celebrate that and stamp their feet about Haman. And after the atrocities of Antiochus Epiphanes, you remember he's the one that went in, desecrated the temple, and made the Jews eat pork, and he splattered pork blood all over and desecrated the temple. And remember after that, it was Judas Maccabees and Judas the Hammer that went in and consecrated the temple and defeated Antiochus. And from that holiday, what did they get? The Feast of Lights, or the Festival of Lights, or as you and I understand, Hanukkah. And then after the great Holocaust, what happened after those 6 million Jews were destroyed? Then they got May 1948, when the birth of the nation of Israel was reborn. Satan tried to kill Jesus to keep him from fulfilling his ministry. That was plan A. But when that failed, Satan went to plan B, to destroy the people whom Jesus will rule over when he comes again. Author Bloomfield described Satan's plan like this. He said, "Satan's attempt to destroy the Jews is of long standing. A number of times in history, the Jews have narrowly escaped. In fact, the history of Israel is a history of narrow escapes. The history of the Jews is a history of expulsion from one country after another. And when Satan gets the upper hand, the Jews are in trouble. God's whole future program revolves around Israel. When Christ comes again, according to the prophet Zechariah, his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, that's before Jerusalem. The Jews will be the nucleus," he says, "of the new kingdom. If Satan is to win this war and retain control of the earth, he must of necessity destroy all the Jews. That would prevent the establishing of the kingdom of God in the world. This is basic in the program of Satan. Can you see what Satan is trying to do? Now, let's talk about those fallen angels for just a few moments. I mentioned Lucifer means the star of the morning, which helps us to understand when a third of these angels will be cast down to the earth. Notice, if you will, in verse 12, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath. Right in the middle of the tribulation, when that seventh trumpet blows, let me tell you, that's the midpoint of the tribulation. And Satan's wrath is going to fall greatly during that last half of the 3.5 of the 7-year tribulation, that last half, when Satan will be expelled from the presence of God, no longer to accuse the brethren. And he and these angels will be cast down to the earth. Not only do they have dominion over the first and second heavens out there, that's why the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. You wonder tonight why there are people that are murdered, killed, violence that we see at every turn of the road tonight. Let me tell you, it's people that are being controlled by the sway of the demonic wicked forces of Satan. Once they're thrown down to the earth, when Satan rebelled against God in heaven and he's expelled, he takes a third of these angels with him. Now, these fallen angels are what the New Testament calls demons. There are demon spirits that are roaming all over the world tonight. Let me tell you, there are angel demonic spirits that are assigned in hierarchical positions to governments, to kingdoms out there in the world tonight. You wonder why we have all of the mess, all of the chaos that we have. Satan's having a heyday. Satan realizes that his time is certainly short. Now, notice that these are Satan's army in his service. According to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, and according to Jude, which is only one chapter, verse 6, some of these have been imprisoned, but the rest have free rein out there to move about. When Satan appears on the earth in the Garden of Eden and in heaven accusing Job of unfaithfulness before God, Job chapter 1 and 2. Let me tell you, these demonic spirits have access to the earth and its population, and they are out there opposing the work of God. Now, I want to close with this part for tonight, and we'll pick up here on Sunday evening. But I think this is hugely important. Please listen to this. From the beginning, Satan has had a mission, and that mission is to destroy the child of the woman in John's vision in Revelation chapter 1 through 5. The woman is speaking about the nation of Israel. The church, us, all of the saved for the past 2,000 years, is the bride of Christ. We're the bride. The woman is speaking about the nation of Israel. Now, notice the child, which is Jesus, in John's vision, is the seed of the woman. That would be because Jesus is a Jew, came from Israel. that the seed of the woman would ultimately crush Satan's head. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So Satan set about to keep that seed from ever coming to life through the line of promise, Abraham and his descendants. Esau attempted to kill Jacob, and of course the other name for Jacob was Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's sons. Pharaoh tried to destroy the nation through slavery and by killing the male babies. At one point, the line of promise came down to one child. Dr. W.A. Criswell says this. This is so fascinating to me. After Jehoshaphat, the wicked king of Judah died, his son, Jehoram, had all of the children of King David's family killed, saving alive his own children. This is Jehoram's children. Jehoram had King David's kids all killed, but Jehoram had his own children. The Arabians then attacked the family of Jehoram and killed all of his children except Ahaziah. When Jehu later killed Ahaziah, Athaliah, the queen mother, usurped the crown. She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and she killed all of the royal seed except a little boy named Joash. Joash's aunt, who was also the wife of the high priest, took the infant prince and she hid him away for 6 years. Do you get what I'm saying? Satan has tried since the beginning of time to kill the lineage through which the Christ child would come. And it got all the way down to one little kid by the name of Joash, whose aunt hid him away for 6 years. Now get this, he survived and the line of promise continued. But Haman, in the book of Esther, that wicked Persian official, he tried to exterminate the Jews and would have done so had it not been for Queen Esther. Remember, she said, for such a time as this, if she was killed for going before the king without being brought into his presence by his approval. And she took a chance. And Haman wound up being the one that was assassinated, not the Jews. Then, after that, Herod tried to kill the newborn Jesus by murdering all the infant boys in Judea. 30 years later, Satan confronted Jesus in the wilderness in a direct offer to give up his loyalty to God. But Jesus resisted. Matthew 4, Luke 4. Satan later tried to move the crowds to throw Jesus off of a cliff in Luke 4, 29. Satan later attacked Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, pressuring him to resist God's will. And then when Jesus hung on a cross, it looked as if Satan had won, except 3 days later for the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Satan's purpose to kill the child of the woman in Revelation chapter 12, Israel, which is the woman, Satan's purpose was defeated. Yet he continues in this present time, his attacks and the war between Satan and God continues until he's put in the bottomless pit during the 1,000-year reign of peace on earth. And at the end of that, he will be assigned to hellfire and brimstone forevermore. Now, you and I will never be able to comprehend or understand why. But let me tell you, I think it's so important that you and I understand, why are the Jewish people so hated tonight? Can you see why? We've gone all the way from Genesis all the way to the end, practically tonight, of the millennial reign of Christ. Satan was defeated at the cross, but his assignment, his consignment in hellfire will not come until that end of that thousand-year reign, when Christ sets up his earthly kingdom in the city of Jerusalem and will reign for all eternity in a new heaven and a new earth. But tonight, I hope that you see all the way from the book of Genesis chapter 3, all the way through, Satan has tried at every turn of the road to thwart the Messiah at every turn of the road. And it came down to one little 6-year-old child that an aunt preserved his life, Joash, and all the way through, and the Christ child came into the world, God himself, robed in human flesh, Emmanuel, God who dwells among us. I don't know about you, but the Bible is the most fascinating book to me in all the world. Tonight, thank you for your presence here. I hope you have gained something from this study as we continue to look to chapter 12 this coming Sunday evening. I'm trying to take this fairly slow, try to do it as much verse by verse with as much description as I possibly know how to do in order to make us comprehend what we are supposed to comprehend, what we are supposed to understand. And when we get into chapter 13, we'll get into the part where the Antichrist is assassinated. It's interesting to read what various ones think about that. But I want you to know, God's program is going on, and God's program will continue until he comes again and then into eternity future forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand as we pray and go? Please be safe going out into the parking lots, and hope you have a great weekend, and see you back on Sunday morning as we look at the dawn of a new year. Father, thank you for our study tonight. Take each one safely to their home, I pray. Return us back on Sunday for the first day of the new year, 2023. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.